This morning's reading is from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was amongst those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him.
And family are present to honour Jesus because of what he has done for them. And we'll see a little bit about that as we go through. But it's the act that Mary does that's the focal point. And it's both about how she was transformed, but also how that transformation continues to work and continues to go on. We see that her act firstly came out of a simple aspect, a simple attitude of thankfulness. After all, remember, first of all, this is Lazarus's house. Lazarus, we're told, was loved by Jesus. This is in chapter 11. Mary and Martha were loved by Jesus as well. But in addition to that, Lazarus has been raised from the dead by Jesus. Under those circumstances, a dinner in honour of the person who did the raising is not unusual, I wouldn't have thought. A real celebration, really a celebration of what that person has done. And really, thankfulness has to be the undergirding aspect of that. How could they not fail to be thankful when all of those things had happened? To know that you are loved by Jesus, that's fantastic. But then to see his action in bringing life where there was death, in bringing hope where there was despair, in bringing a sign that this was not just a one-off, as it were. This was a sign pointing towards Jesus as the resurrection and the life that will come for all those who put their trust in him. Now that's pretty good stuff and pretty powerful stuff, worthy of thankfulness. And Martha showed this thankfulness, we're told. Martha served at the table. Isn't it just wonderful how you see these characters are so in character? You know, where we meet Mary and Martha in other situations, exactly the same sort of things going on. There's Martha serving away like mad. But she's showing her thankfulness in doing that. That's her way of doing it. But Mary, there was something just that little bit different. And maybe you could say a little bit extra. Because with her, there was this simple adoration of Jesus as she came to him. She anoints his feet as an act of love. I mean, it's worth pointing out that this was not an act of welcome. It was usual. If you had a guest, you would anoint them, but you put some oil, olive oil on their head. That was the welcome. This was something else. This was something much more profound. This was something about someone who feels so astonishingly in awe of the person who has done this tremendous thing, that all they can do is wash his feet. And with something so precious, but also even more than that, she actually was going completely against the conventions of the day. In order to wash his feet with hair, she would have to unbind her hair. They had very long hair bound up. Women didn't do that sort of thing. Definitely not on. But Mary did. Why? Simply, I think, because she was overwhelmed by the reality of the love of God in Jesus Christ. it sort of overflowed and pushed all the conventions away, pushed all the barriers away. They didn't matter. All that mattered was this focus on Jesus and honouring him in the only and in the best way she could possibly think of, to not try to put herself above him, but to put herself below him, and to not try and pretend she was doing something really special, but something that, in a sense, almost debased her, in a sense, would put her outside of the usual social class, as it were. And then it was also a sacrificial thing that she did as well. The ointment that she washed his feet with was something really special. It was worth a year's wages. Well, I suppose it depends whether you're a banker or whether you're a minister, whether it's a big one. No comments there, not looking at anybody in particular, but whatever, whoever you were, that's a lot of money. But for Mary, it was the least she could give, in a sense, because she was giving all that she could. It got her into trouble, of course. It was Judas. I suspect there were probably others sitting around saying the same sort of thing. Judas gets the rap for it, but he was a bit of a thief, so there you go. But I suspect there were others. You can imagine that perhaps, I don't know, I just imagine myself being there and wondering what I would have thought. I've got a shrewd suspicion I would have thought, oh, blimey, that's a bit of a waste. But that wasn't where Mary was. Mary was at this place of seeking to honour Jesus in whatever way she could. Her response was really from the heart, really from the heart. And that was a wonderful thing. That's the whole focus of what she was. That was the whole picture in front of her. And the result, we're told, was that the whole house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. I think that's a fascinating thing. Why did John say that? Why did he record that? I mean, it's not really very theologically important, you might say. I think simply to show that this astonishing act of devotion moved everybody throughout the house. It was there everywhere. The whole of the place became saturated with the scent of love, essentially. The scent of love. There was great beauty in what Mary did. And I think this is perhaps something, this is a bit of a challenge, I know to me anyway. That sometimes we can do things for God in a fairly matter-of-fact way, regular way, you know, disciplined way. That's good, and so on. But here was something done out of deep love and real beauty. Real beauty. Perhaps one of the things we're called to as Christian folk is to try and bring a bit more beauty into our world. I mean, it's a pretty ugly place, isn't it? In many ways. In all sorts of ways. You have to see the news to see that, and I don't need to go into all the details of that. But part of a devotion to Jesus, a part of honouring Jesus, is to seek to bring some beauty where there's ugliness, to bring some light where there's darkness, to bring a scent of something valuable where there is nothing happening. There would be other actions required later. You know, people said things like, oh, it could have been sold and given to the poor. I'm quite sure that was going to happen. You know, that would happen. This is not an either-or here. You know, you're not having an either-or business here. No, certainly. Mary would have no doubt cared for the poor, and others would have done as well. So that's not a contradiction. But indeed, perhaps saying that maybe those sorts of acts need to be seen and need to be done with some beauty in mind. You know, you've heard of the phrase cold charity, you know, where it's possible to be kind to people but with no warmth and with no generosity. And there is always a bit of a danger that, you know, sometimes people talk about things like of getting tired of caring for people, you know, where there's so much trouble all the time, how can you stop it, and etc. Well, here's the challenge again. Do it with warmth, do it with a heart of love for God, for other people. Do it in a sense of beauty as well. But Jesus points out there's a little bit more going on here. Because if you look at the passage, the next chapter in John is where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And that is effectively his telling of the Last Supper, which we are reenacting here, which is why we're doing this, why I've thought this would be a good way to do this. Because it's how John is showing what's going on and what he's wanting people to understand. That this is not just something what this lady did at this particular time. But it's actually something that moves on into all sorts of Christian things. Jesus said that Mary, when she anointed him, was actually getting ready for his burial. So it's pointing ahead to his death and to his resurrection. In a sense, what's going on here is the gospel is being displayed in what's going on. And it's a reminder to us that our worship, our celebration of the Last Supper, is a celebration of the good news of Jesus as well. It's about what God has done for us in Christ, that he has come in Jesus to take away our sins, to stand in our stead, to become our king in a new kingdom. Whichever picture you want to use, there are many in the scriptures that speak about the reality of the gospel, but the reality of it is that he comes to individual people and reveals and pours his love into their hearts so that they may love back in beauty and in fragrance and in glory. And as we celebrate at this table, that's what we're doing. Isn't it? Yeah, it is. What we're seeking to do. We're seeking to be those who in this simple act honour Jesus. And I want us to try and focus on that. When we're thinking, as we come to the table, I'll make some suggestions later, but that we're seeking here that this may be a place of honour. It's not just a ritual. It's not just a rite. It's a place of honouring Jesus. It's a place of connection afresh with him and a seeking that our hearts might be moved and filled up a bit more like Mary's certainly was. As we come to this table, it's a gospel meal. We come to receive again a reminder of the life that we have in Jesus. As we come, we bring thanksgiving because that's the right thing to do. As we eat and drink, we're sort of taking into ourselves physical things that we need. Well, I suppose a lot of us don't eat too much bread and too much wine a lot of the time. That could be a problem. Get a bit fat. But anyway. But you see what I'm saying? These are symbols of the food that we every day need for our bodies to work. And we're saying as we do it, we depend on God. And we do, don't we? I know the trouble is we've got supermarkets and all the rest of it, but the food starts with God's creation, starts with God's initiative, the way God has created the world, the way he has functioned it, the way he makes it all work together. And when we take bread and take wine, we're acknowledging the creative power of God in making life possible for us on that simple, mundane level of being an ordinary human being. But equally, as we eat and drink the bread and the wine that speaks of Jesus' body broken and his blood poured out, we're acknowledging the grace we've been given in Christ. And we receive afresh in those actions that fact of grace that we only are what we are by the astonishing gift of God in Jesus Christ. Absolutely undeserved. Completely undeserved. But given to us. Feeble though we might be at times, fractious though we might be, sinners though we might be at times. But that is given to us. And the stench of sin, if you like, gives way to the fragrance of salvation. At this place, at this table. This is where we are as we trust in Jesus. So how are we coming to the table? Well, with thanksgiving and with loving adoration. Honouring Jesus. Thanksgiving? Well, I hope you've been thinking a bit about that. But there is the whole of the world around to give God thanks for. There is the good news to give thanks for. There is his daily care for us that we're often unaware of, but is there all the time that we can be thankful for. There's his presence by the Holy Spirit that step by step every day is with us. We are never alone. God is with us. Us all the time, and we can give thanks for that, and that's an important thing that we need to do. And to honour him, I've been thinking about this and not finding how to do it in the way that Mary did it? Well, I think each of us needs to think about that, perhaps as we're having sharing communion. And what I want you to do, and Peter is going to assist me, is to take one of these gold threads. Now, this is a picture. I'm sorry, I couldn't get a year's worth costing a please, yes, of perfume. That might have been a good idea, but I couldn't do it. But I've got these, and I'd like you just, as you get this, and as we go through communion, just think, how can I give something precious back to Jesus? And let this be a bit of a picture, a symbol, if you like, and see what God says to you. What does he put on your heart? Maybe he wants you to go and say something to someone to encourage them. Maybe he wants you to give a gift to someone. Maybe he wants you to do something for a charity. Maybe he wants you to spend time in prayer with him. Maybe that's what he's doing. Let this be a reminder. You might even, you know, once you've decided what it is, you might want to tie a knot in it, you know? That, the great thing that mums and dads always used to say to us, tie a knot in your handkerchief and you'll remember, you know. It's always a bit messy, my hanky, but anyway. But do that so you've got something when you go away, when we go away from here, we go away knowing that somewhere we're going to be able to honour Jesus in the way, or at least a bit of a picture of the way that Mary did. And please God that by the presence and the power of our spirit, of his spirit, we might actually find that same total giving, I think, that Mary gave of her life. Because, and remember this, she could do that because Jesus had totally given his life first. Go back to the beginning. Lazarus was loved by Jesus. Mary and Martha were loved by Jesus. Jesus acted for them critically to bring new life. And hasn't he done that for all of us in one way or another? Is that not so? Dwell on that thought, maybe. Dwell on that love. Dwell on that gift you've been given. And maybe, and let's pray that from that God will bring to us a sense of what he wants of us. I'm going to read you a poem. So that if you got fed up with me, this is something good. This is by a lady called Shirley Arena Murray. I think it's possibly a hymn eventually. I just found it in a book somewhere. But it seems to me to sum up some of the things that were probably going on in Mary's heart, and I hope and pray are going on in ours. So as Peter gives all these things, just listen to this. This is addressed to God. It's called Let Me Love You. Take my gifts and let me love you. God, who first of all loved me, gave me light and food and shelter, gave me life and set me free. Now, because your love has touched me, I have love to give away. Now the bread of love is rising, loaves of love to multiply. Take the fruit that I have gathered from the tree your spirit sowed, harvest of your own compassion, juice that makes the wine of God, spiced with humour, laced with laughter, flavour of the Jesus life, tang of risk and new adventure, taste and zest beyond belief. Take whatever I can offer, gifts that I have yet to find, skills that I am slow to sharpen, talents of the hand and mind. Things made beautiful for others in the place where I must be. Take my gifts and let me love you, God who first of all loved me. Let's just be still for a quiet moment of prayer, shall we? Take my gifts and let me love you, God who first of all loved me. Amaze us, Lord, please, with a deepening awareness of your love. And by your Spirit, then, enable us to be imitators of Jesus, who honour him in lives and words, and honour him in laughter and beauty, in gladness before him, who gave his all for us. And as we come to this table, Lord, to remember, may that remembrance be filled with echoes of his beauty and his grace. In his name we pray. Amen.